This is the Quality News Network. At the White House today, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki met with President Bush. The president pledged to help bolster the security situation in Baghdad by sending in more U.S. troops. Tomorrow, al-Maliki will address Congress. Some lawmakers opposed to the Iraqi leader's condemnation of Israel's attacks in Lebanon have threatened to boycott his speech. In the West Bank, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice spoke with reporters after her meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Prior to that meeting, she was in Jerusalem for talks with the Israeli prime minister. Her peace plan would reportedly include an international force of up to 10,000 Turkish and Egyptian troops in southern Lebanon once a ceasefire is reached. There would also be an additional group of up to 30,000 forces to assist the Lebanese government. Israel has opened up a humanitarian corridor for the safe transport of food and supplies to Lebanon. In Riyadh, the Saudi king pledged $1.5 billion to help Lebanon. Along the Israeli-Lebanon border, the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas is in its 14th day. Four loud blasts were reported in Beirut as Israeli warplanes hit southern Lebanon, killing six people, while troops sealed off a Hezbollah stronghold. Hezbollah rockets struck northern Israel. One girl was killed. So far, more than 390 people have been killed in Lebanon. An estimated 600,000 have been forced to leave their homes. In Israel, 40 civilians and soldiers have died. In Malaysia, China and South Korea are still trying to convince North Korea to join Friday's meeting about its nuclear program. Talks that include South Korea, the U.S., China, Japan, and Russia are scheduled for Friday. In Washington, Senator Arlen Specter, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is preparing to sue President Bush in federal court on behalf of Congress. At issue, the constitutionality of so-called signing statements in which the president has attached conditions to legislation. Also on Capitol Hill, the House today passed a bill that would create a national database on the Internet of sex offenders. The legislation now goes to President Bush. In Washington, Democrats are criticizing a Senate bill that would punish anyone who helps underage girls cross state lines to get abortions. And in California, the heat wave continues with triple-digit temperatures expected to go on for the next few days. There have been 34 possible heat-related deaths. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A private research group reports that American consumer confidence showed a modest rise in July. This optimism comes despite higher gas prices. In June, sales of existing homes dropped 1.3%, according to the National Association of Realtors. It's the eighth time that sales have declined over the past 10 months. AT&T says its second quarter profits surged 81% thanks to the merger between the former AT&T and SBC Communications. McDonald's reports its second quarter profit grew nearly 60%, partly due to growth in the European market. Honda Motor Company plans to sell small jets, according to the Wall Street Journal. UPS reports that higher fuel costs will hurt its second quarter profit. The world's largest shipping carrier also says health care and pension costs are to blame. BP reports its second quarter profit was $7.27 billion. The New York Times calculates that equals more than $55,000 a minute. And the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission says he plans to push for more oversight of the largely unregulated hedge fund industry. This comes after an increase in fraud that is hurting ordinary investors. Light sweet crude settled at $73.70 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 53 points. The Nasdaq is up 12 points. The S&P 500 is up 8. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' gains, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back this afternoon again on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Glad to be back with you. It's almost 7 minutes past the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to avail yourself of the full experience of the Bruce Birch Radio Program, you can go to our website, brucebirch.com. Go to my website. I'm sorry, me and Poochie over here. You can go to our to my website and check out the blog post that I have up and find out what the show is going to be about today. Today we're going to be talking about weapons. Part of the show, of course. The other part is your topics, whatever they may be. The first part of the show, though, I'm going to be talking about weapons of mass destruction or weapons of mass deception or weapons of media deception or, you know, whatever you would like to call those items as a chainsaw runs by the house. I wonder what that's about. Now, if you want to avail yourself of the full online experience, you can go to my website, check out the blog post. You can also go to the Head On Radio Network website and get in the chat room there. If you go to Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com, look on the left side of the page. There's a link to the chat room. You can click on that and go right into the chat room where there's a few people hanging out this afternoon, enjoying their day, spending it with us. So glad to have you aboard. Glad to have you aboard listening to the show again today. Talked a lot about what was going on in the Middle East yesterday. We're going to shift a little bit to the west, to the east of the conflagration in Lebanon and Israel, and talk a little bit about Iraq today. And the reason why I'm going to do that is I just, you know, it blows my mind. This is of course out of the Mooney Times, the Washington Mooney Times, story by a lady named Jennifer Harper. Title of the story is 50% of U.S. says Iraq had WMDs. It says 50%. Fully half of Americans, according to a Harris poll, now say that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction when the United States invaded the country in 2003. Pollsters deemed the increase both substantial and surprising in light of persistent press reports to the contrary in recent years. The Mooney Times goes on and says the survey did not speculate on what caused the shift in the opinion, which supports President Bush's original rationale for going to war. Respondents were questioned in early July after the release of a Defense Department intelligence report that revealed coalition forces recovered 500 aging chemical weapons containing mustard or sarin gas nerve agents in Iraq. Now, I just, you know, Senator Rick Santorum, Google Santorum and see what you come up with. Just want to challenge you to do that, okay, when you get a chance. Senator Rick Santorum, a Pennsylvania Republican, during a June 21 press conference detailing the newly declassified information, said, quote, filled and unfilled pre-Gulf War chemical munitions are assessed to still exist. Representative Pete Hoekstra, chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, who shared the podium that day, also said, quote, Iraq was not a WMD-free zone. Now, why am I telling you this? What difference does it make whether or not there was WMD there in Iraq? Well, because the Bush administration, when it did the run-up to the war, you know, trotted Colin Powell. Gosh, I can't say his name today. What's up with that? They trotted Colin Powell out and said basically, and Colin Powell, you know, here's your marching orders, Colin. You got to go out there, and what you got to do right now is you got to convince the American people that we are in imminent danger of being attacked by Iraq and their weapons of mass destruction. So Colin Powell went out there, and he went to the UN, and of course it was broadcast on national television, and you know everyone got to watch as he pointed out the various trucks and the various munitions depots and all the supposed biological weapons factories and mobile labs and all the stuff that was going on there. And then we invaded the country and found nothing. We invaded the country, and we looked around. We went, okay, let's look under the rock here. Let's look under the house over here. Let's check underneath the flower pot. Nope, no weapons of mass destruction. And the president, for his part, even at a correspondence dinner, he even joked around and, you know, peeped under the podium, and then he looked under the table, and he looked under a chair, and he even made a joke about it, as if to say, yes, you know, as to poke fun at himself for claiming that there was weapons of mass destruction, because they never found any. Now, out trots Senator Rick Santorum from the from Pennsylvania, and he comes out, you know, he and that guy Hoekstra, Peter Hoekstra, they come out and they claim that these 500 aging chemical weapons constitute the same weapons of mass destruction that we apparently invaded Iraq over. And, you know, and they couldn't be more wrong, you know, and I'll tell you why as we go along in the program. But, you know, it just, you know, it's like, okay, everyone who is in the administration, including the CIA, all now say pretty much that, we kind of did the whole thing about whoopsie. We realized that we might have been wrong. We're looking at this now and we're thinking, okay, you know, we might have screwed up on this. So now what's happening is they're looking at this and they're saying to themselves, woo! No, but seriously, they're looking at themselves and they're thinking that this is just, that they were wrong. They knew they were wrong. Now, Santorum, for his part, gets a part of the dumbass whistle today. That's the Santorum dumbass whistle of the day. One more time for Hoekstra. And that's all they need. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more, and I'm going to share some audio with you of folks who have been coming back out after the Santorum Hoekstra announcement and have been pushing forth the idea that these weapons of mass destruction are indeed the ones that we went to war over, even though the Dulfer report, Charles Dulfer, says no, they're not. And we'll have some audio from him too. We're going to go ahead and take our break about a minute early or so, and then come back and we're going to run some of this audio for you. You're listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America. And glad to have you aboard. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. And, or you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart. Closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist reflected in their art. They forge their creativity closer to the heart. Yeah, closer to.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. Or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Radio program. Welcome back. It's almost 20 minutes after the hour. We were talking about weapons of mass destruction, and I want to give you some audio. Now, if you're on the free speech phone lines, folks, hang on. I'll get to you as soon as I can. I want to set the stage here for what I hope will be an interesting discussion this afternoon. on this very topic or whatever you want to talk about. Now, you can call the show if you're so inclined. I'd love to hear from you. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. 1-877-4, head on. Give us a ring. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. Now, I've got quite a bit of audio today that I wanted to share with you, and I just wanted to, you know, let's start out. I want to start out with the intrepid. Well, he's a freak. He's a freak. And let's just hear him. And you know who this guy is. So let's hear what he has to say.
Last month, Congressman Pete Hoekstra and Senator Rick Santorum announced that a newly declassified report stated the coalition forces have in fact found 500 munitions in Iraq that contain sarin or mustard nerve agents.
So what he's trying to tell you, what this guy Sean Hannity, the insanitizer, Sean Insanity, he's trying to tell you. In this little clip, he's trying to say that, yes, indeed, these weapons of mass destruction have been discovered. And by golly, we just need to it's in the world. I've got another clip here. Let's listen to that one more time, just so you can get the full depth and breadth of the baby Jesus, as apparently another talk show host calls him.
Last month, Congressman Pete Hoekstra and Senator Rick Santorum announced that a newly declassified report stated the coalition forces have in fact found 500 munitions in Iraq that contain sarin or mustard nerve agents.
Yes, he is now basically dictating without any kind of investigation, I might add. He's now dictating without any kind of investigation what the honorable Senator Rick Santorum. You need to Google Santorum. You need to go out and Google Santorum. I'm telling you. Go Google it. Trust me. And you'll find out what he's all about. But if you do that, now that's Sean Hannity talking about. Now let's listen to the only administration official that I'm aware of that actually commented on this publicly. So let's listen to this clip. This is Donnie Rumsfeld.
They are weapons of mass destruction. They're harmful to human beings, and they have been found, and they had not been reported by Saddam Hussein, as he inaccurately alleged that he had reported all of his weapons, and they are still being found and discovered.
So Donnie is now saying that there are weapons of mass destruction, and that these weapons of mass destruction are still being found. They are actively finding weapons of mass destruction as we speak. They're actively finding them. I mean, it's like an Easter egg hunt over there. They're going around. They're looking under mailboxes. They're finding weapons of mass destruction. They're in palm trees. They're under cars. They're in hubcaps. I mean, these weapons of mass destruction are everywhere, and they're finding them actively as we speak. Let's listen to this one more time. One more time for the world. Yes, one more time for the world.
They are weapons of mass destruction. They're harmful to human beings. And they have been found, and they had not been reported by Saddam Hussein, as he inaccurately alleged that he had reported all of his weapons. And they are still being found and discovered.
They're still being found. They're out there, and they're hiding. They're like snipes, ladies and gentlemen. They're like snipes. The United States Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, the armed forces, they're over there right now snipe hunting for WMD. Now, let's listen to what the king king baby king idiot the El Doper himself Flush Flembaugh has to say about it.
It is going to be up to us, ladies and gentlemen, to get the truth out on weapons of mass destruction and overcome the obdurate stubbornness and blindness of the Democrats and the drive-by media. It's going to be up to us to give courage and a backbone to our own people on our side of the aisle.
Courage to lie, yes. Courage to lie. That's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to give the people on our side courage to lie some more. Because after all, without telling lies, we'll never be in power again. Isn't that right, Rush? Well, we got one more clip from the Honorable Flimbaugh. Blah, blah, blah. Let's listen to that one, shall we?
We've had a 3-year propaganda program on no weapons of mass destruction. None have been found. This is just settled in now as fact. But it's not fact. It is propaganda. The facts are coming out, and there's probably a lot more to be unclassified if somebody will just do it.
If you'll just unclassify the documents, we can see the truth. He would know what propaganda is. Yes, he would. Let's hear this little clip again. It's one little piece of this, okay? Let's hear this one little piece again. This is just too much. Listen.
It is propaganda.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Well, you know, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the fact that you're, here's what I'm thinking is the propaganda, Rush. And all of you right-wing, whatever you are, I'm trying to clean it up, trying to keep it clean. It's, you know, it's before 9 o'clock, before 10 o'clock. We're going to try to keep it clean today. Here's some real propaganda for you, all right? Here's some real propaganda. This is Dick Cheney, and I'm just going to read this to you, all right? Sounds like opportunity calling. Okay, now, what I was going to say is, here's Dick Cheney. This is Dick Cheney saying, talking about Iraq. He's saying, I think with respect to the question of we were greeted as liberators. I think we clearly are viewed as liberators by the vast majority of the Iraqi people. Well, what do we think about that?
It is propaganda.
It is. It's propaganda. And Cheney goes on to say, and I really believe that when the history books are written, that what we'll find is that 2005 was the turning year, the watershed year for Iraq operations.
It is propaganda.
Now, why? Well, primarily because that's the year which the Iraqis first had an election in January when they first elected an interim government.
It is propaganda.
Okay. I won't run the clip anymore. But I just, you know, that's a perfect example of the kind of bull crabbery that is being heaped upon us. Now let's listen to what Charles Dolfer has to say. This is about a 2-minute clip, so we're going to run this, and then we're going to go to our break, and then we'll get over to the phone lines. This is Charles Dolfer talking to Neil Conan of National Public Radio.
The report says hundreds of WMDs were found in Iraq. Does this change any of the findings in your report?
No, the findings of the report were basically to describe the relationship of the regime with weapons of mass destruction generally. You know, at two different times, Saddam elected to have and then not to have weapons of mass destruction. We found, when we were investigating, some residual chemical munitions. And we said in the report that such chemical munitions would probably still be found. But the ones which have been found are left over from the Iran-Iraq War. They are all almost 20 years old, and they are in a decayed fashion. It is very interesting that there are so many that were unaccounted for, but they do not constitute a weapon of mass destruction, although they could be a local hazard.
Mm-hmm. So were these the weapons of mass destruction that the Bush administration said it was going into Iraq to find before the war?
No, these do not indicate an ongoing weapons of mass destruction program as had been thought to exist before the war. These are leftover rounds which Iraq probably did not even know that it had. Certainly the leadership was unaware of their existence because they made very clear that they had gotten rid of their programs as a prelude to getting out of sanctions. Sarin agent decays, you know, at a certain rate, as does mustard agent. What we found both as UN and later when I was with the Iraq Survey Group is that some of these rounds would have highly degraded agent, but it is still dangerous. You know, it can be a local hazard. If an insurgent got it and wanted to create a local hazard, it could be exploded. When I was running the ISG, the Iraq Survey Group, we had a couple of them had been turned into these IEDs, the improvised explosive devices, but they were local hazards. They are not a major, weapon of mass destruction.
So what, in other words, what our friend Charles Dolfer is saying is that the weapons of mass destruction that were discovered in Iraq by none other than Rick Santorum aren't really weapons. Okay. So in honor of Rick Santorum, then, we're going to go ahead and pull our little whistle one more time because I think that he deserves it. All right, we're going to take our break now. If you want to get in on the show, you can you can do that by calling 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back after this break.
Homeland Security advisories are at the highest levels. If you have a disability or special need, you may have to take additional steps to protect yourself and your household in the event of an emergency. Contact your local Office of Emergency Management or Fire Department to find out about special assistance that may be available in your community. Go to www.floridadisaster.org for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Broadcasters, and this radio station. Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. But we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org. or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. Man, I'm so glad that that I have the opportunity to bring you some truth, some justice, good stuff, yes, very good. All right, we're going to head over to our free, I've done my little playing around, now it's time to get back to work. Get back to work! I'm going to go ahead and go over to our free speech phone lines. If you are, if you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877, I'll slow down. 1-877-443-2366. Our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere on the North American continent is joining us on the radio program. Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm okay. Listen, I've got to help you out here since you played all that stuff. Okay?
Okay.
You hear that? Those are my Navajo rattles, and they're supposed to exorcise all the spirits of those bad people you were playing. Don't you know that if an original assault were to invade the heads of any of those idiots that we were listening to, it would die of loneliness?
It would be a very lonely thought, yes. The thought would be like, well, I don't know who have more thoughts.
I mean, Rick Santorum is in so much trouble in his bid for another term in the Senate that he's pulling out all kinds of stuff. And all those weapons over there were weapons that we sent him to fight Iran with. And basically, exactly, the components of them have degraded to the point that they just presented, as the guy said, a local problem. I mean, I would dare say that the portalettes over there are more dangerous than what they're going to find. What they find in the bottom of the portalettes.
That what they'll find will be the blue the little blue discs they throw in the urinals and stuff. That's what they'll find. They'll call it a sarin gas. That's what it's sarin gas pellets.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, or whatever that sound you were making. What is that? A whoopee cushion?
What are you talking about? My dumbass whistle?
Yeah.
Want to hear it? You want to hear it, Jim?
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, hang on. You like that, do you?
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. You need more sound effects like that.
Well,
I've got a CD I'll be glad to send you. It's called Pull My Finger. That'll really give you some sound effects that'll emulate some of the sounds of our friends on the extreme right. I mean,
pull
really.
Your what?
Huh?
Pull your what?
It's called Pull My Finger.
It's called Pull My Finger. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's a wind-breaking contest, and I swear to God, it makes more sounds than what I hear from these people on TV. It got so bad this afternoon that I had to put on the Janis Dickinson show. That's how bad it was.
Well, sound effects when dealing with the Uber right is you have to, because you know what they're saying is just not that entertaining. So you have to sort of do something to make it.
Absolutely.
Worth listening.
Listen, I have a funny one for you, and this is you'll love this. You know, back when Clinton came into office, they changed the federal application form. It's called the 171, and you could submit a resume instead.
Okay.
And I had a friend of mine who had this beautiful resume. He had it printed out on vellum paper, all this kinds of stuff. And underneath, hobbies and activities, he had actually placed Mile High Club.
Oh, no, he didn't.
And I looked at the resume and I said, he said, I can't get anywhere. He said, they look at me and they start laughing, or they just say, goodbye. And I said, who told you to put this in there? He said, well, somebody said that this was like one of those Sierra Club organizations.
Oh, my gosh.
And
this guy could have had a great job, and instead he was so smart.
I beg your pardon?
I said, it sounds like he was, oh, gosh.
I mean,
he didn't even know what it was?
No, he thought it was like, some type of environmentalist group. And, I said, look, and he said, well, what is this? I said, this is for people who, and I told him what it was about, and he was very upset, and I think he went to see the person who told him to put him on there, and I don't know, there may have been some weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth after that, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of strange.
Well, guys like that, you just want to, you just want to break out the whip. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, but those guys that you were listening to earlier, I mean, they've been playing that crap ever since. Oh Lord, that's just months old when they started that new weapons of mass destruction thing for Santorum, and then
the reason why
good Lord in heaven.
Well, the reason why I was bringing it up, Jim, is because, of this, there's a new poll out that says that now, that a Harris poll is saying that half of Americans now believe that there were weapons of mass destruction.
The Harris poll says that?
I'm sorry?
The Harris poll says that?
The Harris poll says that, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, they need to append that. They may have been, but they were the ones that we gave them to fight Iran with.
I'm going to have to look up, see if I can find the actual questions that were asked on this poll, because...
You know, as far as polls are concerned, you can't beat the Zogby poll.
That's true. I agree. John Zogby does a really...
John Zogby is probably the best one you can find. And if you really want to get accurate information about how people feel, he's your man, really. I mean, these other polls are just... are so slanted in the way that they ask, because I've been called by some of these people. And they will ask you a question that's so slanted in such a way that, you know, if you answer it either way, you're going to, you know, indicate a certain outcome that they are looking for, okay?
How badly do you hate America, Jim?
Huh?
No, I mean, one of the questions. How badly do you hate America, Jim?
Right, exactly. Very, not too very. Extremely.
Not too well. I'm not saying that I know. I just, you can't answer that question in any way that's going to be a rational answer. It's like, when did you stop beating your wife, right? I mean, you know, how do you answer that, right?
Exactly. I mean, these guys are just, you know, they don't know the meaning of the word truth. And they simply are attempting to beat life into a dying cause. I mean, you know, it's just like they've got this cadaver on the table and they're trying to resuscitate it, and it's their ideological platform, and they're using any kinds of stimulant or any type of, you know, electricity to try to shock it back into life. And, you know, and it's, now I tell you the truth, I think it's so corrupt, it's putrid, it's beginning to stink.
It is. It's beginning to
rot. As far
as
I'm concerned, as far as any person with any sense is concerned, if they'll just be truthful with you and admit it, even the people who voted for Bush in 2000 and 2004, I mean, even if you get those people to tell the truth, I mean, they'll say, yeah, well, I mean, you know, they look at you kind of sheepishly, and you no longer get much of a defense from any of them, because I talk to them occasionally. And, you know,
it is propaganda.
Oh, yeah, propaganda. And Condoleezza's done such a wonderful job over there in the Middle East, hasn't she?
Oh, she is. She's doing a wonderful job spreading...
It is propaganda.
Yeah, that's what she's doing, all right.
Mm-hmm.
She's
looking real anchors away in her white suit.
Oh, is she doing it in a white suit?
Yeah, she's prancing around in her Prado heels with her white pantsuit on, and she's looking real anchors away in that thing. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what good she's doing, just wasting gas of Air Force whatever took over there. The only, I don't understand why in the world they sent that woman there to those people. Because it's not going to help. It's not going to do any good.
I don't think, well, you know, it's like I was talking about yesterday. I don't know if you listened to the show, Jim. I think you did.
Yeah.
You called. Well, you know, one thing I was mentioning yesterday was, you know, she had this completely moronic, idiotic quote about how, you know, she didn't want to go and waste time on people who weren't going to adhere to a ceasefire. And in the same breath, on the same front page of the New York Times, there was this story about us shipping a rush order of smart bombs to Israel. And
yeah.
Yet she was referring to Hezbollah. So, I mean, it's like, it's just insanity. It's just complete insanity. And really, you know, she wouldn't know a peaceful idea if it bit her on the, you know, where.
Well, I'll tell you, they have a new unit of nonsense out. It's called the Condoleezza. And 10 Condoleezzas equal one Bush. And, you know, I'll say this.
Raise you 10 Condoleezzas.
A 10 Condoleezzas is equal one Bush. It's how much nonsense you can utter in 5 minutes. And, you know, she may as well get up to the microphone and say, roses are red, violets are blue, I like peanut butter, let's screw. And it would make about as much sense.
And or if she were, you know, if she were to act like she normally does, she would say, I like peanut butter and so do I. That's the schizophrenic.
Okay,
kind of day.
Well, listen, I hope you have a good program this afternoon. And instead of being in the northern hemisphere, I have ascended into the northern moronosphere.
Northern moronosphere.
Yeah,
all right, Jim, thanks for calling in, my
Emperor
friend.
Wang. Emperor Wang of the planet porno.
Ooh.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing that.
Hey, you take
all
care.
Right.
We'll talk to you guys
okay,
later.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a great afternoon, Jim. And that was our good friend Jim from somewhere in the northern Moronosphere who dares to say stuff like...
It is propaganda.
That's right. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program right here on the head-on radio network. If you want to get in on the show, you can do that. 1-877-443-2366 is our number. Bruce at Bruce Birch is my email address. I'm right here until 7 p.m. tonight. Be right back.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself,
sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Condoleezza Rice is in the Mideast East right now, along with the latest shipments of U.S. bombs to Israel. Maybe they were on the same flight. And the symbolism couldn't be more obvious. The United States has been arming Israel even as it commits war crimes, and Rice and Bush and Bolton have been blasé about the need for an immediate ceasefire. Easy for them. Already 372 people have died in Lebanon, the vast majority civilian. Israel has lost 37, about half, soldiers. This 10-to-1 ratio would be called a massacre by most definitions, and then there are the 600,000 Lebanese civilians who've had to flee their homes, turned into refugees in their own country. Israel and Washington are under the mistaken impression that they're winning the war against Hezbollah and against terrorism this way. They're not. Despite its own inexcusable actions, Hezbollah is being hailed as a heroic fighter in much of the Arab and Muslim world for standing up to Israel, which was and is, lest we forget, invading Gaza. Hezbollah gains two recruits at least for every one that Israel kills. And the so-called moderate Arab states have been exposed once again as stooges of Washington, their hold on power even less secure today than it was 3 weeks ago. This is not a march toward democracy, but a march toward chaos. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It is propaganda.
That's right. It's propaganda. All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and our good friend, we're going to go back to our free speech phone lines again and take a call. Our good friend David from Maine is on line one. Good afternoon, David. How the heck are you, my friend? Hello, David. Is David there? I'm not hearing David. Okay, Well, let's see what that might be something. Apparently, he's not there. All right. Well, let's go back over to the story. Because that's the whole reason why I was playing any of that stuff. Yeah, it's a few months old. Yeah, the audio of all that stuff and the story is a few months old. But the reality is that it seems to be aging in favor of the Reich Wing. In recent weeks, before I read any more of this crap to you, let me just say this, and I want to make it very clear is that, as a matter of fact, on my blog, I went over and checked on my blog a few minutes ago just to see what was going on over there, and apparently, someone named Roundhouse has come onto the blog and has left a comment. He or she says, Saddam had WMD. Who sold them to him? That's a really good point. Who sold the WMD to Saddam? The chemical weapons, the mustard gas and sarin gas that was there, that was apparently left over from the Iran-Iraq war, where did they get them from? And why is it surprising that Don Rumsfeld... why is it surprising that Don Rumsfeld is the one who said, we know he has the weapons of mass destruction, we're discovering them, we're finding them right now? Because he's the one who has been pictured shaking Saddam's hand as he's selling him these weapons of mass destruction to shoot at the Iranians with. So if anyone would know, Donald Rumsfeld would know. Because he knows exactly how many he sold him. All right. Let's try it again. We'll go back over to the phone lines. I believe round two for David from Maine. David, are you there?
Yes. Good evening, Bruce.
All right. There you are. Glad to have you on the program. How are you doing?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, sir.
So let's see. What do I want to start off with? Oh, today at the dentist office, that's where you can stumble on something if you're in the waiting room. I was looking at the Minutemen. They had an article on the Minutemen in Reader's Digest. So I go, all right, I'm going to find out what this founder is about. So I'm reading it, and I, honest to God, this is what he says about racism. He goes, I can't be racist because I had a black wife.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the kind of logic we're dealing with, folks. That's it right there.
One would say that it's...
It is propaganda.
Yes, it's propaganda. And the only thing I have to say on the Minutemen is this, is that what they should be doing is they should be going to corporations and taking the corporate heads and watching over them instead of watching over the immigrants. But obviously, that's not getting through to them.
No. Of course not, because it's all the brown people's fault.
It's all of the invasion. It's a Southwest conspiracy.
Yes, because they said many, many moons ago that they're going to take over America, and so now they're doing it. And these Minutemen, well, they're patriots. Just for one second, though, David, it really kind of irks me that these people have adopted the moniker of those who fought valiantly and gallantly to separate us from the evil British and have assumed, they've taken the name and they've completely bastardized it,
Well, it's funny. I keep thinking of how the Native Americans felt like, and I was like, boy, guys, you don't understand... ironical karma when you see it.
It's ironical, ironical.
Yes. And then the second thing I was going to mention, you were mentioning Saddam Hussein, and I wondered if you read, I don't know if I caught, because I didn't catch the first hour, but have you talked about the letter that Saddam Hussein has released?
No, I haven't yet.
Please
enlighten me.
I'm going to have to send you that link, because that letter right there, it's pretty impressive. What he said in that letter, for factual information, what he believes about the U.S. government And it was rather eloquent what he said, even though he said Zionism a few times in the letter and what have you. But at the same point, what he was saying was making a lot more sense than our president. And I would urge everybody to take a look at that letter. It's on the net. I forget what board they posted it on, but somebody transcribed it and everything. It's pretty long, too. It's like 3 or 4 pages.
Well, I don't know that I'll read all of it, but do send it to me, and I'll see if I can't get some of that out on the air either today or tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure you can read the highlighted portions of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can highlight it for me, too?
I'll put quotations in different parts where I think that are essential.
Relevant to. Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, but that's great. He's also on a hunger strike right now, and I'm sure, of course, now he has said that Bob mentioned on his show last night that he's accepting a feeding tube, which means that they've shoved something in him. But I don't know. I don't much care for. I mean, I'm not going to stand around and go, well, you know, it was. Saddam was a great guy, because he wasn't. I mean, he was actually a very tyrannical, evil guy. But the reality is that we didn't take the country over to get him out of power. That was not the reason why we did it, you know. And, so if we're going to, if we're interested in telling truth, we went over there for a lie. And as a result, what's happened? I mean, you know, the country is in complete chaos right now. And it will stay in chaos until another tyrant comes along and rules it with an iron fist.
It seems like all the regions are collapsing, and all of the conservative theories that they've worked for so long are collapsing as well, because everybody seems to be waking up to what's going on. That's what I seem to think that's what's happening. I think the radicals that you have right now, In one way, okay, it is about obtaining power, but in another way, it's also just coming to terms with, okay, this is the last time that I'm going to get duped while I'm here. And this is how it's going to be, fellas. Like, that's how I think, Sadr and the Shiites were like, and basically all of the tribal sects Yeah, I think there's something to it about how it's just people have had enough.
Yeah.
And you wonder how long it's going to take for you. And now, if it took that long for the Middle East to do that, you wonder how long it's going to be for the United States to be in the same way.
John Dean seems to think that we are on the slippery road of authoritarianism. And, you know, I would some people have called it fascism, some people called it any number of terms. Fascism seems to be a much more emotionally charged term to use. You know, to me, I look at this and I think, I look at our country right now, and it's damn scary, because what we're seeing is the result of one political party having all of the houses of government and pushing forth a very authoritarian agenda. And another 4 years of something like this, and I dare say they could have a wrap on the Constitution and a wrap on all of our freedoms. You know.
So does that mean after Tony Snow resigns, we're gonna have Jerry Falwell as the press secretary?
No, I think Pat Robertson. He looks better in front of the camera.
Pat Robertson. Okay.
Listen, I gotta go to our top of the hour break. You want to hang on until after the break?
Sure.
All right. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We're going to take our top of the hour news break, and then we'll be back for the second half of the Bruce Birch radio program. I'll be right back.
Quality News Network at the...
This is the Quality News Network. In Rome, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice arrived for tomorrow's international meetings on the Middle East situation. Earlier today, while in the West Bank, she met with the Palestinian president. Prior to that, she was in Jerusalem for talks with the Israeli prime minister. Her peace plan would reportedly include an international force of up to 10,000 Turkish and Egyptian troops in southern Lebanon once a ceasefire is reached. There would also be an additional group of up to 30,000 forces to assist the Lebanese government. Along the Israel-Lebanon border, the fighting between the Israeli military and Hezbollah guerrillas is in its 14th day. Four loud blasts were reported in Beirut as Israeli warplanes hit southern Lebanon, killing six people, while troops sealed off a Hezbollah stronghold. Hezbollah rockets struck northern Israel. One girl was killed. So far, more than 390 people have died in Lebanon. An estimated 600,000 have been forced to leave their homes. In Israel, 40 civilians and soldiers have been killed. Israel has opened up a humanitarian corridor for the safe transport of food and supplies to Lebanon. In Beirut today, the first shipment of U.S. aid arrived. In Riyadh, the Saudi king pledged $1.5 billion to help Lebanon. At the White House today, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki met with President Bush. The president pledged to help bolster the security situation in Baghdad by sending in more U.S. troops. In Kabul, Afghanistan, a roadside bomb... today. In the eastern provinces, fighting against the Taliban killed a U.S. soldier along with seven militants, according to officials. Meanwhile, the Afghan government is pleading for $76 million in food aid because of the prolonged drought, which has hurt the wheat harvest. In Belarus today, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said the two countries have forged an alliance to fight back against Washington's influence. He will also make stops in Russia, Qatar, Iran, and Vietnam. In Washington, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee is preparing to sue President Bush in federal court on behalf of Congress over the constitutionality of so-called signing statements, which the president has attached conditions to legislation. Also on Capitol Hill, the House today passed a bill that would create a national database on the internet of sex offenders. In California, the heat wave continues with record demand for energy, which has pushed the state's power supply to the brink with fears of rolling blackouts.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
South of the Aleutian Islands, the Coast Guard and Alaska Air National Guard successfully rescued 23 members of the crew of an Asian cargo ship, which began taking on water Sunday night. The head of the Securities and Exchange Commission tells a Senate committee that he plans to push for more oversight of the largely unregulated hedge fund industry. This comes after an increase in fraud that is hurting ordinary investors. A private research group reports that American consumer confidence showed a modest rise in July. And in June, sales of existing homes dropped 1.3%, according to the National Association of Realtors. AT&T says its second quarter profit surged 81% thanks to the merger between the former AT&T and SBC Communications. McDonald's reports its second quarter profit rose due to growth in the European market. Honda Motor Company plans to sell small jets dubbed the Honda Civic of the Sky, which will seat 6 to 7 passengers, according to the Wall Street Journal. UPS reports that higher fuel fuel costs will hurt its second quarter profits. And BP reports that its second quarter profit was more than $7 billion. It's a new record high for BP. Light sweet crude settled at $73.75 a barrel today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 53 points. The Nasdaq was up 12 points. The S&P 500 was up 8 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bremoff. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
You're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program, Radio for a Freer America. And we're not talking about the free market kind of America. We're talking about the America where you and I feel confident and positive about the direction our nation is going and good about our economic future, where we are at this point. Now, you know, I just looked into the chat room and our good friend DJ, good to see you there, DJ. Says yes. I guess she was referring to the news, to the Quality News Network news. It says, "Yeah, we are very confident that things will get worse and we won't be able to afford anything." That's consumer confidence, I suppose. Well, you know, I'm there with you, and the prices are going up, wages are going down. It's a perfect society for those who have lots of money. Make those poor people work so much they won't be able to do anything else, like organize labor unions or oppose our draconian economic policies. And that's where that is. Now we're going to go right back to the phones. Our good friend David held on over the break. Are you back with me, David?
Yes, I am, Bruce. And okay. I just want to say that bumper you have right before, it sounds like John is channeling Vince McMahon. Hopefully just in the voice and nothing else. go ahead.
What I was going to say is every time I hear it, you know, what I think about is coming out, you know, I think of me dressed up in, you know, the whole boxing glove thing going on and come out fighting, you know. Here's Bruce, you know.
Right.
It's kind of fun.
Well, that's better than being dressed up like Randy Macho Man.
That's very true. And now, you know, Ed McMahon was a fan of the Village People.
But then you would have Jessica by your side, so it wouldn't be that bad.
That's true. John does a great job on announcing the show though. So it's kind of fun. I love the whole idea that I'm coming out fighting at the top of the hour. So it's cool.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So I want to switch a little bit, but still be focused on the Middle East and talk about the situation in Pakistan.
Okay.
And I don't know if you heard that of the nuclear report that came out.
Yeah, I did hear about that. I read about it. Was gonna cover that today, actually, at some point. But now that we're talking about it, shoot it to me.
Well, I think the important thing about it is that people are saying that Pakistan has the ability to make over 50 nuclear weapons. I think I'm getting that right. Or they're near the ability of that?
Yeah, I'm thinking that it's going to be. Hang on, I'll pull it up. This was a story out of the Washington Post.
Right.
Let's see here. It says that there's construction. Actually, they're continue. excuse me, they are building a large plutonium production reactor. Apparently, that I don't think that they're done with building it yet, but they do have a small reactor already operating at the Kusab site, and it's able of producing about 10 kilograms of plutonium a year. And, yeah, they're saying that, now I'm reading what you're talking about. Pakistan is thought to possess up to 50 nuclear bombs. How about that?
And here's what I have to say to that. Why aren't they being as aggressive with Iran as they are with Pakistan? I mean, this should be like the big this should be like the smoking gun right here.
Well, because Pakistan's, you know, the Pakistanis are allies, man. I mean, you know, according to the current state of affairs in that region, you know, we were just there, the Prez was just there, I want to say about 3 months ago.
Right.
And on the visit, he basically decided he was going to trade nukes for mangoes to India, and then he went to Pakistan and said, "We don't think that you people are ready to handle a nuclear weapon yet." Now, the whole time, he knew that they probably already had them.
Right.
Which I find to be really interesting.
See, I'm going to think like a right winger, but the place is called Islamabad. They should really think of changing that name, because that, you know, that's going to be a talking point pretty soon. I would think Islamabad not so bad.
Yeah.
Islamabad.
Islam are pretty damn good.
So,
well, you know, and that's, but I also, just as an aside note,
yeah.
If you look at the geography, and I've mentioned this a couple times before, but if you look at the geography of the region surrounding Iran, you will see that Pakistan is a key place to have on our side in case in the eventuality of an armed invasion of Iran, which everything seems to be pointing toward. I really hope it doesn't happen. I really do hope that it doesn't happen, but the geopolitical stuff that's been going on and some of the traveling that the Bush crew has done over the last 6 months really points that direction, as if to say, we have the entire country, either every country that surrounds Iran right now, we have either conquered or have lucrative deals with. Like, for instance, on the same token, we've also just shipped Pakistan a bunch of fighter jets. You know, so following that line of reasoning, I mean, you know, we are buying off their allegiance to us at this point. Now, why are we buying off the allegiance? There's really only one thing that I could point to that would be a reason, and that would be the eventual invasion of Iran. There's no other reason I can think of why we would need them on our side.
It seems like that's where it's headed, and it seems that there needs to be more of a strategy on how to confront. I was thinking another strategy would be good if that crazy Iranian president, if he would write those letters to every nation saying he is in for terrorism and blah, 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 whatever he was saying to the United States, and maybe that would, like, put a block on the, or at least put a basic message that he's not for a war or what have you. I would think that would be worth something at least.
I don't know where all that stands. I think the rhetoric at this point is pretty inflammatory on both sides, and but I do think it is quite amazing to me that, you know, they're not in violation of any sort of non-proliferation treaty. Iran isn't, and yet we are basically saying to them that there is a higher standard than we will hold any other country to, including Pakistan, one of their neighbors, and say that, you know, you cannot have nuclear weapons, you cannot have nuclear technology, you can't have any of this stuff, even though it doesn't violate any treaty. You know, that if you possess any of these things, we're going to have to come bomb you back in the Stone Age and have, you know, and go back to candle lights there in Iran. So, I mean, that's kind of the stance that we're taking against Iran. And I don't know, I'm not going to say for a second that there aren't very radical elements of Iran that are very dangerous to us. But what I will say is that holding them to a higher standard than any other country is just not right.
That doesn't make any sense. And I refer to the Iranian president as Ron Silver. Because he looks like Ron Silver, and it's easier to say.
He does look like Ron.
I know, it's easier to say. He could be an actor. You never know.
He could be.
All I know is what I see on the TV screen and what I read. And I've seen the pictures, and if you do a split screen where Ron Silver's right next to Mahmoud, I'm not going to say anything, but it's there.
Yeah, well, you know, they did the same thing with Burt Reynolds and Saddam Hussein, so hey, you know, it was... Burt and Saddam had a striking
resemblance. You can also do that with Zarqawi and Ron Silver, so I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying, you know.
He's not saying anything, ladies and gentlemen, except for that Ron Silver is he's an Arab terrorist, okay?
Something
if you
like
see
that.
Him, tackle him and hold him until the authorities can arrive on the scene.
Yeah.
David, thank you so much for calling. I got to hit a break, my friend, but it's good to have you on the show again today, and look forward to hearing from you real soon.
You take care.
All right, you too.
Later.
That's our good friend David from Maine, and David brought some interesting ideas to the fore today, talking about what's happening in the Middle East. If you want to do that, if you would like to get in on the show and bring your ideas to the fore, you can do that on our free speech phone lines. 1-877-443 is the number. Oops, forgot the last four. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. And you can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. You can also go to my blog at brucebirch.com and comment on the show post today if you feel so inclined. I'm going to be right here once we return from our break.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
I'm Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
In the markets, I've seen you in the streets and at your political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I've just got one question and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on some kind of vengeful...
Freer from war, freer from all those things that the Reich Wing wants to heap upon us and use as a way to keep us down. That's right, the man. Glad to have you back on the show. It's about 20 minutes past the hour. We've had... really interesting discussions today with Jim and with David from Maine. And you know, I wanted to go back a little bit, step back to this WMD situation and why it's it is important for us to try to combat the lies that these hate mongers are shoving forth on us. Now let's listen. I want to hear this Rumsfeld clip one more time, because now let's keep in mind, Donnie Rumsfeld was the man that is the famous picture of him shaking the hand of Saddam Hussein back when Saddam was our darling. You know, Osama was one of our darlings too. You know, when the Soviet Union was the big evil mean bad thing that was out there, and we were, you know, when I was a kid. You know, I grew up. I was born in the late '60s, and grew up. You know, I remember very vividly watching the tail end of Vietnam on television on the evening news, seeing Dan Rather reporting from the field. I also remember very vividly, you know, our teachers telling us, you know, there was always the Cold War drill. There was the thing about, you know, getting under your desk and all this stuff. We had drills in school, and I remember Ronald Reagan talking about that evil empire and seeing him on television as giving the speech at the wall, you know, telling Mr. Gorbachev to tear down this wall. But Rumsfeld, you know, who was actually in the first Reagan, the first conservative supposed hero, Ronald Reagan's cabinet. He was actually, I'm trying to remember what he was in that cabinet. I'll have to look it up and see. But he was a central figure in Reagan's government. And here's what he has to say. Now, this is the first guy. He went over there and shook hands now with Saddam Hussein because, you know, we were selling Saddam Hussein weapons to fight the Iranians with. This is right after, you know, the Iranians took... the hostages and there was a secret deal struck by the Reagan folks to pull the hostages out right when Carter left office, to make it look like that they were holding on to them until Carter left office. You know, we all know that was bull. But anyway, let's listen to this Rumsfeld clip one more time.
They are weapons of mass destruction. They're harmful to human beings. And they had been found, and they had not been reported by Saddam Hussein, as he inaccurately alleged that he had reported all of his weapons, and they are still being found and discovered.
These weapons that were found and discovered, according to Rumsfeld, these weapons were weapons that were pre-1991 weapons. They were decayed. They were... more than likely, according to Charles Dolfer, were not weapons that the Bush administration was alluding to in the idea that we had to run over there and conquer that country and take it as our own because, after all, they're going to build a nuclear bomb. And you know what? They only have to be right once. And let's not let the evidence come in the shape of a mushroom cloud. That's right. In other words, the hyped-up propaganda queen, G.W. Bush, stood up there at the State of the Union and basically, told us it back in, I think it was 2003? Could be. I think it was either then or 2002. Anyway, State of the Union address. Stood up there and told us that, that yes, indeed, that Saddam had been trying to acquire weapons of mass destruction, i.e. a nuclear material, yellow cake uranium from Nigeria. Now, we also had Joe Wilson. Now, why is this all that, why am I even talking about all this today? Well, first of all, the main reason that sort of got me on this kick was that, according to a Harris poll, 50% of the American people believe that Saddam actually had weapons of mass destruction. Half of us. Admittedly, the stupider half at this point, right? Admittedly, the stupider. Admittedly, the dumber half, and we have a whistle for them. Those are for the people that's the whistle. That's the dumbass whistle. If you've never heard the dumbass whistle before, let's do it one more time. All right, the dumbass whistle is for those people who still believe that somehow or another that these weapons of mass destruction that were the ones that Bush alluded to in the run up to the Iraq War, the invasion of Iraq in March 2003, somehow or another that those weapons that were found that were not even usable. I mean, let's think about this for a minute. Colin Powell went before the UN, convinced the UN, or should I say, tried his best to convince the UN that, Saddam had all these bioweapons labs that were mobile labs and running around on trailers and all these, weapons munitions depots and all this stuff. That and you know what? The right wing still thinks that what Colin Powell was saying was true. They think they're in Syria. They think that all these this convoy of trucks that we saw pictures of, Colin Powell was doing the PowerPoint presentation there at the UN of all the stuff, the right wing still thinks that those trucks still exist and that they moved them to Syria or they buried them in the sand. Well, it was cloudy one night. We couldn't take pictures of them, and that was when they moved them over to Syria. Okay. So where are they now? Well, they're in a big warehouse over on the Syrian side of the border, and that's where they are. I somehow think that if that were indeed true, we would have already been in Syria by now. That's just another bunch of bull crappery that the right wing wants to intimate is true. Now, we got Limbaugh, we got Hannity, we got Rumsfeld, all talking about the weapons of mass destruction. And then we have Charles Dolfer, who turned around and said, no, this is absolutely just horse crappery. And he comes out and says on Neil Conan's Talk of the Nation on Nationalist Public Radio that, as a result of all the stuff that's going on, that this is absolutely, all these weapons that were found, that Senator Rick Santorum has discovered and wrote up a press release and then trotted his little 14th century self out there to comment on it, that in fact the weapons were degraded weapons that could not have been used for anything. So now, as our good friend, as Flush Flimbaugh said, he said, besides the propaganda piece, he said, now we have to have courage to go out there and support people on our side in telling the truth or telling or spreading the lies or whatever he said. We have to do the same thing. If half of the American people still, think that weapons of mass destruction actually existed, we have work to do. we have to go out there and counter this bull. We cannot allow this to stand, because if they believe this at this point in the game, I guarantee you by the time that we hit the November elections, they will think that what we did in Iraq was a resounding success. As Dick Cheney said in his little thing there about that I read to you, he says he thinks that, and I'll quote him, he says, when the history books get written, what we will find is that it was the best. He says what we'll find is that it's that 2005 was the turning year, the watershed year for Iraq operations. That's what he says. That's when the history books are written. Well, and I'm supposing probably that he has some money interest in the history book company, and probably has a controlling interest in what they write. Because the reality of the fact is that 2005 was the bloodiest year in Iraq. And 2006 is shaping up to be even bloodier than 2005. Turning year? Watershed year? Bloodshed year? You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, where you and I try to dig at the truth and get call these people what they are, scoundrels. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366, and you can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back after this break.
Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Day by day. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. So Bush brought his hand-picked ruler of Iraq, Nouri Kamal al-Maliki, back home to headquarters. Not sure that's going to do any good. For one thing, al-Maliki is proving to be a reluctant puppet, criticizing Israel for its invasion of Lebanon and demanding the right that any country should have to prosecute people who commit rape or murder on their territory, even if they're wearing the uniform of the U.S. military. Bush can't always get what he wants. It's a lesson he's only faintly beginning to learn. He and Maliki also have an enormous headache on their hands, and that's how to control the violence that's embroiling Baghdad. Every day, another dozen or two dozen bodies appear at the morgue, tortured and shot at point-blank range. Sometimes they're Sunni, sometimes they're Shiite, but they're always dead, needlessly, cruelly dead. When leading U.S. commanders on the ground over there say that the Shiite-Sunni violence is even more threatening than the insurgency, you know things have gone from bad to worse. So Bush is deploying more troops in Baghdad now, smack dab in the middle of the civil war we were assured wasn't going to happen. Look out. It only gets uglier from here. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying, or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
That's right. Born on the bayou, baby.
A little bit of CCR for your afternoon. It's about 35 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch radio program. I am Bruce Birch. That's me. I'm Bruce. Brucey. That would be me. We've been talking about weapons of mass destruction today, and now I'm going to shift gears a little bit because we need to move on to some other things that are happening around the country and around the world. Apparently, three members of Congress, now this is sort of related, this is about WMD, three members of Congress, Representatives Barbara Lee, Ellen Tauscher, and Edward Markey, all Democrats, are requesting that the U.S. State Department issue its semi-annual report outlining all foreign persons known to be engaging in weapons of mass destruction proliferation related to activities in Iran and Syria. The report is required by law, by the Iran-Syria Non-Proliferation Act, and the reason why they want this report is because they would like to know about, before they consider, let me just read. The Democratic Congress members indicated they want to review the report prior to considering legislation which would facilitate President Bush's proposal for nuclear cooperation with India. They seem to think, or they may have an idea, that perhaps India has something to do with Iran and Syria with regard to weapons of mass destruction. The weapon of mass deception, however, has been the crazy report that we told you about with the whole 500 munitions that were found. It's just ridiculous. It just is ridiculous. Now, in Iran, as we're moving on toward weapons of mass destruction, in Iran, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad warned on Tuesday that the conflict between Lebanon and Israel could sweep the entire Middle East like a hurricane. Ahmadinejad said on a visit to the Central Asian Tajikistan, he said, quote, if problems are decided through the use of force, everything becomes double complicated. He went on to say, he who sows the wind will reap a hurricane, and this will be a very strong storm in the whole Middle East region, which will strike painfully. He said this in a joint news conference with Tajik President Emomali Rakhmaninov. Yes. Hey, that was pretty good. I said that pretty good. Now, according to this news story, Iran is a key backer of Lebanon's Hezbollah guerrilla group, whose capture of two is now they're using the terminology that we've been trying to get them to use. They're saying it's a capture instead of a kidnapping, whose capture of two Israeli soldiers in a cross-border raid on July 12th sparked Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon. Ahmadinejad said Tehran was against any form of violence in the Middle East. He said, quote, all questions on international security have to be settled only through dialogue because using force will not lead anywhere. He's actually speaking some truth instead of the crazy rhetoric that he usually says. Or maybe it's just the way that the State Department translates what he's saying. He also is calling for an immediate ceasefire. Lebanon's territorial integrity and its independence should be taken into account when settling this issue. He was in Tajikistan to foster closer relations with a strategically important nation where Russia and the United States are also vying for influence. His trip came weeks after the visit of U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who sought to deepen military and political ties with the country. So there you go. I was talking to David about this earlier. The bottom line is that these folks are it's a war. What it is there is a concerted effort to try to bring these nations on board with certain ideas about how what's really important with placing weapons over there. Now, I'm gonna I don't know if I'm gonna have time to run that. I haven't played this, so I'm not gonna run it. All right. Some other things that are going on. Apparently, dealing with the government and selling off your privacy has turned out to be a very profitable venture. AT&T second quarter profit rises 81%, 81% on wireless and web users. The net income rose to $1.81 billion from $1 billion a year earlier. In 1 year, they've almost doubled their income. I would suppose that would be a thank you for allowing, insanity. That's right. For allowing the government to snoop on your phone calls. Now, the other thing that there's several other things that are going on around the country and around the world, and I want to get over to those as well. You know, another story. Now, we talked about the 50% of the U.S. think Iraq has WMDs or had WMDs, and how insane that entire idea is. You know, another story that came out today that I thought was kind of crazy. We have this is right out of Bowling for Columbine, right? A gun owned by Pennsylvania State Senator Bob Regola, who is he's a Republican in the 39th District State Senator there. Very pro, he's a member of the NRA as well as the Police Rod and Gun Club. And received the endorsement of the Firearms Owners Against Crime. A gun owned by him has been used to kill a 14-year-old boy. According to the AP, the dead boy was taking care of the pets at Senator Regola's home while the senator was in Harrisburg, the state's capital, to receive an award. Harrisburg is about 170 miles from Westmoreland County, the location of his residence. It's unclear whether the teen's death was a homicide or suicide, and Pennsylvania law does not require handguns to be kept in a locked location. They've said that he will not face any charges in the incident. If you have a gun at home, folks, and you don't need it laying around, and you're not being haunted by the CIA or the NSA or the DEA or the AAA or whatever, lock the thing up. Unload it. Take the bullets out of it. Stick it off to the side. Lock it up so that people can't shoot themselves with it. And if you have to use it, have it in a safe. Have it in a place where you know that you can get to it and you can use it. But it's another perfect example. Now, I'm not against guns. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna say at all. That we shouldn't have guns. What I am going to say is that if we're going to have weapons and there's going to be children around, to lock the damn things up. Because, having a weapon around is like a magnet to a kid. They want to see what it's about. They want to shoot the damn thing. And you know what? It's quite possible that this kid, had some, some girl might have just dumped him. I mean, we don't know. I'm not going to say anything more about that. But he had availability to a gun. And that's just absolutely repugnant. This kid is dead, and it's this guy's gun that fired the shot that killed the kid. Now, whether it was suicide or homicide, it's not clear, but apparently the senator's not getting any charges. Quick update on, but before we do that, let's take our break. All right, you're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program, Radio for a Freer America, right here on the Head-On Radio Network. We've been talking about a lot of different stuff today. We're going to be winding down, heading into our last segment right after this break. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
You got my pride. hanging out of my bed. You messing with my life, so I bought my lid. You even messing with my children, and you're screaming at my wife. Get off of my bed if you wanna get out of here alive. Freedom, that's what I want now.
This is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
You're back on the Bruce Birch radio program, where we try to take a stab at finding the truth. You know, I throughout the program today, I have been truly amazed at the flim-flammery, crip-crappery of the Bush administration and those who support, you know, this illegal government. And it brings me back to, you know, I titled the show post today, as, you know, on my website at brucebirch.com. I titled the show post today, The Big Lie. Why I titled it that is because, you know, there was one horrendous lie that got all this into motion. And that lie was that George Bush won Florida. throughout all of the, you know, and everything that has happened as a result of that one thing, the Supreme Court handing George Bush the victory in Florida by stopping the count and handing him the presidency on a silver platter, that one act begat all of the last 6 years. That one act created a situation where, you know, instead of uniting the country and looking fear in the face and saying, "Damn you, fear," George Bush opted for the coward's way out and whipped the country into a scared frenzy and then used it for his, for his betterment. And everything that has happened since then has been a ploy. And it has been. I mean, you know, yeah, look, oh gosh, this sounds kind of like a conspiracy theory. Well, no, it's not. It's reality. Conspiracy reality. How about that? He's taken the goodwill, the trusting nature of Americans, and abused it. And again, they trotted out some more propaganda, as our good friend Roundhouse just mentioned on my blog. You know, Bush trotted out, you know, in my line of work, in my line of work, see, you got to say things over and over again so that it sinks into people, because you got to catapult the propaganda. Yeah, sicko. Got to catapult the propaganda, see? Got to keep saying things over and over so it sink in, see? You know, and it drives me up the wall. It truly does. It drives me up the wall because they do this stuff. They trot this stuff out, and it's obvious bull crap. It's obvious cat crappery. And what happens is that people buy it because it comes out of a senator's mouth, or because it comes out of Donald Rumsfeld's mouth, who is to speech, you know, what a military band is to music. Unless, of course, you like marches, you know. So I, we're going to sit here and we're going to listen to this, and you know, and it's going to be, you know, once the Bush administration, once they see this poll, I guarantee you, within the next week, this whole weapons of mass destruction thing that was found or whatever is going to be back in the news again, front and center, and then the poll numbers will go up another 5 points, another 10 points. And they'll keep doing it until people are whipped back into a scared little frenzy with their tail tucked between their legs and asking for some great white father to save them from those evil little brown people. It's damn disgusting is what it is. It's repugnant. Because we as Americans have done some great things in our time. We've also done some pretty damned heinous things, but we've done some great things as well. We've risen to the occasion when the time has required it. We have acted on principle under the right leadership and have done the right thing by our nation, and there have been other times where we didn't, under the wrong leadership. Well, right now, I'd like to put forth the idea that we are under the wrong leadership, and that the way to turn this around is to elect a Democratic congressman this November. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. If you're not doing anything to help a Democratic congressman get elected in your district, you need to be. Because the very future of this nation, and whether we succumb to totalitarianism or authoritarianism or you know, whatever you want to call it, fascism, the very thing that may be standing between us and that kind of system of government may be you. It may be the effort that you make to get that congressman elected so that there can be a check and balance on this runaway tyrant train that seems to have taken over this government. It is very scary. If you look at where we were seven years ago, and where we are today, the difference is it's very pronounced, and it's very scary. And it's becoming more secretive as time is going on. You know? It's becoming way, way more secretive. And what stands between us and a totalitarian government? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's people who want the right thing. Democracy, ladies and gentlemen, is not a form of government. It is an active principle. It's something that we practice on a daily basis. We keep practicing it, trying to get it right. And what we're seeing is that democracy in the United States is going backwards. It's not moving forward. We're not practicing it at this point. We're watching it get stomped on and trampled by people who would like to see nothing more than regal power within the United States. You know, the Alexander Hamiltons and the John Adams of the world. Well, they're in the White House right now. They would like to see an oligarchical society set up, and the power left to the ruling class, because after all, they know what's better for us than we do, right? Wrong. This nation has survived for 230 years without needing to have a great white father to watch over it. And we will survive even longer if we stand up and do what we need to do to preserve our democracy. That is our job. That's not the job of the congressman. That's not the job of the senators or the president. That is your job and my job as citizens of this nation, to stand up and say no more when it's time to stand up and say no more. I would like to suggest that the time is now to do just that. I'd like to thank you for joining me today. This has been Bruce Birch for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I'd like to thank my good friend Zach Rebich for producing the radio program today. I'd like to thank our good friend John Fox for announcing the show. Zach, you did a great job, man. Thank you. Thank you very much, Zach. Our good friend John Fox for announcing the radio show and for being the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. He simply rocks. He simply rocks. Our good friend Gene from Oregon for being our blogger extraordinaire and Head-On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! I'd like to also thank our good friends Bob and Agnes Kincaid for being the glue that